Welcome to The Real News. I'm Jessel Noor. Israel is facing growing international criticism for preventing the vaccination of Palestinians living in the occupied territories, while being praised for having one of the highest vaccination rates in the world for its citizens. This controversy even made it to Saturday Night Live.
Israel is reporting that they vaccinated half of their population, and I'm going to guess it's the Jewish half.
Meanwhile, over 40 human rights groups held an international day of action on February 25th to demand Facebook not equate the word Zionist with hate speech. Activists delivered over 53,000 signatures urging Facebook to reject the move, which they say will be used to silence criticism of Israel's ongoing military occupation of Palestine. Well, we're joined by Rabbi Alyssa Wise, Deputy Director of Jewish Voice for Peace, which co-founded the campaign, which is called Facebook We Need to Talk. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So we know that Facebook has increasingly become a sort of hotbed for extremists, including anti-Semites that are using the platform to spread hate and disinformation. And they're expected to make a decision on whether to label the word Zionist hate speech by the end of the month. Supporters say this will help tackle anti-Semitism. You disagree with this. You wrote in a recent Guardian op-ed, this policy would in fact censor Palestinian speech, discriminate against Palestinians as a class, and silenced nuanced conversation about Zionism. Talk about the campaign, you know, the 50,000, over 50,000 signatures that were delivered on Wednesday, and why you think this is an important fight to be having right now.
Thank you. And thank you for having me to talk about this important campaign. So we got word in November that as soon as February this month, Facebook executives were going to be making a decision about whether to give in to what is essentially an Israeli government demand that Zionists be widely accepted as synonymous with Jew. That gave us just a few months to launch a challenge big enough to get them to refuse to hand a significant victory like that to those that support Israeli apartheid at the expense of Jewish safety. And the issue that you raised about the medical apartheid that Israel is currently practicing and on display as it regards to vaccines is part of the point, right? If Facebook would move forward with this move, the clip, for example, from SNL that you just showed, or other kind of posts that are critical of the way that Israel is shirking their responsibilities under international law to provide vaccines to Palestinians could be censored as hate speech and categorized as anti-Semitism. So the reason that this fight is important, it's multiple reasons. Obviously, there is on the most basic level that Facebook is a huge platform, over 2 billion users across the world. And we all know that Palestinian stories don't often make it into mainstream news, right? And so social media is all the more important for Palestinians who are so cut off from ways to tell their stories with the world, right? So on a very practical level, this kind of move, this kind of censorship of Palestinian communities is really dangerous, right? This is how Palestinian communities tell the stories of home demolitions. We've seen multiple occasions where Facebook has taken down videos of people live streaming their home demolitions. Or recently, movement leader Noura Erekat, who spoke at our virtual petition delivery event yesterday, talked about how her posts about the execution of her cousin were censored by Facebook, right? So it's an important tool for holding governments accountable. And that's actually something that is really important to preserve. So that's one. Two is that this move comes in the same time that there's an international coordinated effort to move forward a definition of anti-Semitism, colloquially known as the IHRA definition, which is the International Holocaust Remembrance Association definition of anti-Semitism, that's being touted by the Israeli government and their supporters in an effort to shield themselves from accountability. So while Facebook has said that what they're deciding on is narrower in scope than the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, we still understand it as part and parcel of it, right? So we know that they've been lobbied to adopt the full IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, in which all critique of Israel is likened to anti-Semitism. And this is very dangerous on multiple levels. The first is that if we create a situation where anti-Semitism charges are being lobbed at groups, especially at Palestinians, for speaking out about their lives under Israeli rule, then we get into a place where we can't actually fight real anti-Semitism, right? So we know that anti-Semitism is real and even rising in the United States in particular from the right. And this IHRA definition of anti-Semitism doesn't even speak to the kind of anti-Semitism that we've been experiencing the past 4 years under Trump, that we witnessed in full grotesque display on January 6th and the attack on the Capitol. So that's actually really dangerous, right? Because it undermines our ability to actually fight anti-Semitism.
Sort of ironically, you have, so-called supporters of Israel that are, you know, the same within the same movements as these overt anti-Semites. It's really astounding to see that.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a really important point, because in Facebook equating Zionist and Jew, it's false for many reasons, including that there are more Christian evangelical Zionists in the United States than Jewish ones. At the very, very basic, for example, the Christians United for Israel, right, which is the John Hagee's organization, which their members, they claim 10 million members in the United States, and their basis of their beliefs at CUFI and Christians United for Israel is that settlement of Jews in historic Palestine is necessary to hasten the second coming, at which point Jews will convert or be killed, right? There's hardly a more anti-Semitic notion than that. And yet in this move, that entire population, those 10 million and more, that's a very modest estimate of the number of evangelical Christian Zionists, right? Mike Pompeo, our former Secretary of State, right? Mike Pence, our former Vice President, they are part of that movement, right? And they themselves harbor really dangerous ideas about anti-Semitism, but are let off the hook for it because they support Israel, right? And it's really critical that we deconflate and decouple the idea that Zionism is synonymous with Judaism and that all Jews support Israel, because we don't.
So we have talked about that joke on SNL. There's growing calls for SNL to apologize for that joke. Some have even said it promotes an anti-Semitic myth that Israel is not vaccinating its own citizens. What's your response to this? Recently, 200 rabbis signed a letter saying it was a moral imperative Israel vaccinate Palestinians, which, you know, in the Palestinian territories which Israel is occupying. So I guess, are these rabbis anti-Semitic? Is that the argument?
I mean, that's the thing, is that anytime Israel is faced with criticism, the charge of anti-Semitism is lobbed, right, as a way to shield themselves from criticism and from accountability, right? And it's unacceptable because it sacrifices our ability to actually dismantle anti-Semitism. And that's what's so frustrating for me as a Jew, as a rabbi, right, that this is, they just like throw it at people in order to not have to deal with the fact that they are transgressing international law. They're transgressing values of morality, right? Of their obligations, right? So for example, you know, the Oslo Accords stipulated that epidemic control would be a joint responsibility, right? And so Israel's trying to shirk that responsibility now, right? And is more interested in playing political games than in Palestinian lives, as we've seen them, you know, dealing in vaccines to nations that would promise to move their embassies to Jerusalem. And the Israeli government has an obligation under international law to provide the vaccines to Palestinians living under its military occupation. Now, the SNL joke may have been a little crass or heavy-handed or lack of nuance, but it actually hit on a very real phenomenon. Like, it's real that Israel is shirking its responsibility to the Palestinian people. And there are certain people inside of the Israeli government, like Ayelet Shaked, who, you know, is grotesque in her descriptions of Palestinians and completely asserts that they have no responsibility and no moral obligation to care for Palestinian lives. And on the one end, from a public health perspective, this is also ludicrous, right? Because they are the societies of Palestinians and Israelis are interconnected, right? And from a public health perspective, it doesn't make sense. And from an international law perspective, it doesn't make sense. And from a perspective of ethics and morality, it really doesn't make sense.
And I wanted to follow up on a couple of points that you've already raised. But to make it clear, Facebook and other tech companies censoring Palestinian views is nothing new. So can you talk more about that? And also the fact that, you know, we have to recognize that Israel is one of the most powerful military forces in the world. It's an asymmetric relationship with the Palestinians they're occupying. So talk about more about the power of social media and getting out these stories of resistance and the struggles that Palestinians face every day when those voices are often censored in the corporate media.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many examples of Facebook taking down and censoring Palestinians and their advocates, right? Including Jewish Voice for Peace. Last winter, we had a Wrestling with Zionism event where our New York City chapter had put together first-person narratives of how each members of the chapter had moved away from Zionism as Jews. And they were having a reading of the book. And they had an event on Facebook that Facebook took down and took 10 days and a lot of lobbying to get it restored 10 days before the event was going to happen, right? So it's Palestinians, most critically, who will be cut off, right? And, you know, I think about the Great March of Return that happened in Gaza, where the primary way that Palestinians were sharing their message of refusal, of acceptance of Israeli domination in Gaza, of highlighting the crisis in Gaza, the main tool they had at their disposal to do that is social media, right? And for us at Jewish Voice for Peace, and for me personally, it feels that my most important role that I can play is to get the barriers out of the way and ensure that Palestinians have all the tools and all the platforms that they need at their disposal to organize and fight for their freedom. So that's why this campaign was a priority for us, right? Because we understand that that social media is a key tool to share first-person narrative, right? To share urgent crises, to fundraise, like GoFundMes and other kinds of crowdsource funding is a lot of times the only way that some nonprofit organizations can get the resources that they need in order to continue to do their work. And cutting people off of social media in this way is deliberate, right? This is why the Israeli government is advocating for this. Just last week, they issued a report about what their demands are of social media companies as far as allowing criticism of Israel and debates about Zionism on their platform. And then I think, you know, it's really important to highlight that one of the other reasons we took on this campaign is because the instead of debating with or discussing with Israel or their advocacy organizations on, you know, the realities of medical apartheid or the realities of the crisis of home demolition or the detention of Palestinian children, right? These urgent human rights crises, they always just lob these accusations of anti-Semitism and try to forward this idea that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. And so this fight and this campaign is a really important way for us to push back against it. So even though we know that Facebook has a long history of censoring Palestinians, this campaign was an opportunity to push back on the bigger fight, which is Zionist does not equal Jew, right? And for Facebook to concede that and include that in their hate speech policies would have a ripple effect, given its influence, not just in the social media sector, but far beyond it.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us to discuss, this really important campaign and news from Palestine, which, as Americans, we should all be concerned about because it is our U.S. tax dollars that are allowing, the continued occupation of Palestine to continue. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And I wanted to remind our viewers that supporting us is absolutely crucial to our mission. If you can, please go to therealnews.com and become a monthly sustainer for as little as $5 a month. If you can support us, you can keep our work going. Thank you so much for joining us.